Well, great to be together for church this morning, and wonderful to have those words declared over us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We are who you say we are. Our prayer as we continue our series on identity, this is week 4, would be, Lord, show us things about ourselves that will help us follow Christ well. So let's step into today's teaching. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10. It says this: Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Okay. Think of the last story you told. Now think of the last story you told in which you were the hero. If that's all the time, then it's quite obvious maybe you have an ego problem, and I want to talk about my story with that today. Or a security problem, meaning you are insecure because you don't realize the security you have in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story. I want to be the case study for today. Now, let's go 17 years ago. I was 20 years old. I was studying at Bundoora campus of La Trobe in Melbourne, and we went up to New South Wales to Wollongong to visit a friend. Now, so there's three of my friends and I going to visit another friend. And while we were there, we decided to go out. And for some reason, why, I have no idea now looking back, it was incredibly stupid and potentially dangerous, as I'll share, I decided it would be a good idea to tell the restaurant we went to, and then the bar later, that I was a team manager with the surf brand Quicksilver. And the three guys who were with me, one was a professional snowboarder and the other two were surfers, and I was tasked with taking them out. Now, I must have done a good job of selling this, because they catered for us, they provided for us. I had something up my sleeve about a company card that I had, and everything was going swimmingly, and we went out to a bar afterwards, and this is pre-really my conversion in terms of following Jesus authentically. And so we're having a great time, and the lie just kept building and building and building. And when I look back at this, I realize, I was scarily good at lying. I was scarily confident. I was scarily arrogant in selling this. But then what happened right at the end, this is much later into the evening, is I walked out of the bar into the middle of two groups of guys. Now, I was closer to one group who, right at that moment, decided that they were going to run away. So they ran. And as I soon learned, what was about to happen is this group of guys was about to fight that group of guys. And I walked out right next to one group of guys who'd run away. The other group of guys thought I was with them and decided they'd get me because I was closer. So they started coming after me. Now I ran, and luckily, and I still look back and go, Lord, thank you for watching out for me. I got away, I found my way back and ended up going back to where we were staying. Didn't even see my mates for the rest of the night, but I was okay. And I think I might even have called my parents in the midst of this and explained a little bit about what had happened, but that I was okay. And I'm thankful now as I look back, as I said, for God's hand over me. Now, an adventure. Maybe something you can put down to the silly things that young people do, young men. You can even say, that's a bit of an Aussie larrikin kind of behavior. Or you could even, like I used to love playing poker, you could say, good bluff. But the reality is that it was an out and out lie. And as those following Jesus who want to shine with the light of Christ, it's not the way that God wants us to live. Charles Spurgeon, the renowned speaker, pastor, author, says this: He who tells little lies will soon think nothing of great ones, for the principle is the same. Now, when we think about lies, It's not really about the lie itself. It's about the root of why someone is lying. So I've titled my message today, Confessions of a Recovering Ego Addict. Let's go back to the original question about the story that you told. Maybe the one in which you were the hero. It's not that you can't ever tell a story in which, you know, it kind of centers around you. But the question is, did you tell the absolute truth? Memory has its flaws, yes. What I'm asking is, did you tell it accurately as best you could without embellishing where it related to you? What do we do when we don't know our identity in Christ? Well, we lie. Why? Because we're not secure in Christ. And so we lie in varying degrees, even around our yeses and our nos, to make ourselves feel and look better, and sometimes others worse. It's because we want to be liked. We want to look better in front of others. We want to feel better about ourselves because that's where we have to look outside of Christ for our identity, for our worth. Next week, I want to talk about the reality that lies we tell come from the lies we listen to. So let me tell you some wonderful truths. God has created us in His image. He looks at us and says it is complete work, then it is good. Exceedingly good. Not because we are inherently good. Rather, we are broken, we are imperfect, we are fractured and in desperate need of a Savior. But that God's perfect power, when He said it's exceedingly good, that God's perfect power, His authority, His wisdom, His word had accomplished what He looked around and saw was exceedingly good. God's plan is not for us to either be secure or insecure in ourselves, but to be secure in Jesus Christ. Looking back, and I called it Confessions of a Recovering Ego Addict, is because I'm not perfect. We still make mistakes. We respond and we recall memories or stories or things in a way that may not always be absolutely true. Or we embellish our yeses or our nos because we're not yet so secure to let our yes be yes, our no be no, and the truth be the truth. But that is the invitation. I was too secure in some ways, arrogant, and a lot of ego, but insecure in other ways. Arrogant, yes, but not yet ready to step into the real calling, the integrity, the responsibility that God was calling me into following Jesus. You know, I hope that you're learning and relearning and or relearning what the Bible promises when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. The end of that verse 10 from Colossians 3 says, we are being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That our new life is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator, in God's image. Proverbs 19:2 says this, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? You know, the word where desire is there, the interchangeable word is the heart without knowledge is not good. The heart without the knowledge of God, the heart without the renewed life of Christ is not good. We are being grown, transformed by the knowledge of our Creator into the image of God to be more Christ-like. Because hasty feet miss the way. Our desires, our heart, without a knowledge of God, miss the way. In this sense, the way is tell the truth, live the truth. There's a great book that came out recently called Live No Lies that I'm looking forward to reading at some point by John Mark Comer, and I would recommend it to you. If this knowledge, though, of God is only what we can and can't do, then that's a very limited understanding of what it's all about. And it's not the fullness of joy, it's not the fullness of life that Christ died for us to have. I can't remember who said this, but it's this: the central issue for a Christian is not sin management, but rather it is the understanding of our identity in Christ. Our identity is not defined by our failures or by our past, but by Christ's finished work on the cross. He said, "It is finished," and we spend our lives trying to realize the fullness of what that means. Anna said last week, in week 3 on identity, that there is nothing we are called to do here that Christ will not do in us and through us. So we can release the pressure of living to a certain set of rules or laws. History has shown we can't live up to God's law, but we instead surrender to the life of Jesus living within us and have peace that He is transforming us to be more like Him. Why is it so hard to find our identity in Christ? Well, because it's a wrestle between the new life of Christ we have living with us and within us, and the old person, the old life. Recovering. Because I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey of becoming more Christ-like. And, you know, that journey will continue until the day that I die. I see Christ face to face and I'm in heaven. And I can't wait for that day. But until then, the journey of becoming more like Jesus, less like the old self, more like Jesus, the new life we have in Jesus transforming us, that journey continues. So why is it hard? Well, the noise and temptation of the world is there, possibly louder now or as loud as ever before. The pressure to conform to the world, even as we are renewed by the knowledge of our Creator. Put off the old. You can pray in Jesus' name, help me put off the old. Show me the things about myself that will help me follow you better. Know the truth. Live in freedom from lies, both the external lies that come and the internal ones that we believe of ourselves, that we believe of others, that we say to ourselves, that we say to others. Because the reality is, what do lies produce? More lies. The more lies you tell, the more lies you got to tell to cover up the lies you told, the more you got to remember, the more pressure you're under, the more you got to perform up to this image that's been created by the lies that you either believe or tell or both. What's a practical application? Well, I've talked about this before when I talk about relationships. My wife and I, Elise, next year we'll celebrate 10 years of marriage. And trust and truth creates freedom. So let's talk about just one thing. What about phone trust? You know, in the world today, there's kind of this language that, you know, someone else's phone is taboo. You can't pick up someone else's phone, and I'm not saying that you should, but I am saying between husband and wife, trust that it doesn't matter if my wife picks up my phone, it doesn't matter if I pick her up, there is absolute trust that there is nothing going on using technology in an inappropriate way, there's no text messages coming or going in an inappropriate way. That trust is so freeing in the context of marriage, for example. Let's look at lies in our storytelling. You know, Do you lie when you tell a story? Do you lie to make yourself look better or make others look worse or to bend a situation in your favor? Like, we all kind of do it sometimes to varying degrees, but how freeing would it be if you never have to remember the lies that you told to keep living up to it? It's this beautiful thing that we all need to hear, and maybe especially you need to hear today. We do not need to compensate for anything when we are in Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. Paul shows us this, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 3. He says this, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." I mean, this is such an incredible portrayal of humility and security as an outcome for the Apostle Paul. Doesn't matter who's watching, who's listening, about the truth of Jesus Christ. So true was what Christ had accomplished. So true was the life that Paul had received in Christ Jesus that he just didn't care. It didn't matter how he was perceived in the eyes of others. His whole purpose was to glorify Christ. His whole security was in Christ. Erwin McManus, who's the pastor of Mosaic Church in LA, I got to walk past that church in 2017, went over there with a bunch of pastors in the US. He's also the author of The Genius of Jesus. He says this, "His life was a personal experiment on trying to figure out whether you can actually live a transcendent life. Whether you could live a life that's more spirit than flesh. Whether you could live outside of the trappings of simply a material world, but to live from a vantage point of eternity." Wow, what a statement. What an invitation to an incredible journey to be on. Can I say, because of what Jesus has done, it is possible to live a life led more by the Spirit than by the flesh. Erwin says, you know, like all of us, if we're actually honest and we're not lying, we have failed many times. On my journey, I have failed many times. We stumble, we fall. But the overriding question is, am I different? Am I different for walking with Jesus Christ? How is the life, the light of Christ show up in my life? And maybe another step, you can't deny that your life has been changed by Jesus, but how do you explain it? Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that you have for the change in your life? Not boasting about yourself, you are not the hero of this story. Jesus Christ is. What Jesus did on the cross both shows us our worth to God and secures our identity, our hope, our faith, and our future forever, simply because we believe. It is the most profound, powerful, true, and freeing invitation you will ever receive. Today, as an outcome of this message, we're going to share communion together. And that is recognizing Jesus' body broken on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the sacrifice that he made by dying for us and then raising back from the dead, this same death and resurrection of new life in ourselves. The old person has died. The new life in Christ has come that we recognize. I don't know what you have. I've got a biscuit. I've got some juice in here. Whatever you might have at home, you might have a cracker and some water. You might have something different. Would you gather that now? So I just want to share briefly with us the truth of this reality that we recognize when we take communion. It reminds us of the truth that has freed us. There is no need to compensate anymore. We are free of this. Surrender. Maybe if you're like me, surrender your ego and control to Jesus Christ. This is something that I did as a younger person than now, but it's still something we need to do every day. Lord, this is the day you've made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Show me what you want me to do today. Lord, would your will be done, your kingdom come. Not my will, Lord, yours. And I surrender that. Let him be the champion of your story, bringing your insecurity to Christ and ask him to be your security. Trust the truth of what Scripture says about those who are in Christ Jesus. So let me read that, declare that truth over you and I today. Romans 8, 32 to 35, the Message version puts it like this. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? The answer, I hope you know, the answer is no. Nothing could drive a wedge, separate us from the love of Christ for us and what he has accomplished for us. And so we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And we share in communion together today.